Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning. I long for these times to be with the brethren here at Lake Country. I was just thinking the other day how fast time is moving. It just amazes me that we're already in the month of March, getting toward the end of March, going into April. You can see by looking outside that the times, seasons are definitely changing. I like this time of the year. It seems like once you get past to making that adjustment of the time, I like the longer days as far as having more daylight in the evening to be able to do things. It just reminds me of how blessed we are. As I was thinking about how fast time is getting away from us, I realized at the beginning of March we have been here for two full years, and it just amazes me how fast the time goes. But it's been a good 2 years, and we certainly love the brethren here, love being with the brethren, and love opening God's Word and studying from God's Word as we strive to grow in our relationship with God. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And this morning we want to begin our lesson by reading 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. As you know, this is a familiar context, but I just want to begin our lesson by reading 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, and then we're going to ask a question at the end of verse number 3. The Apostle Peter begins, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The question that I want to ask you this morning is this: are we diligently growing in the Lord? I want you to think about that word diligence. I know the word diligence isn't found here in our reading of the text, but Peter does mention the word diligence and the concept of this idea of diligence in his epistle. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, you remember Peter says, "In giving all diligence, add to your faith," and then he's going to list out several things that we're to add to our faith, things that we are to be diligent in. And then when you drop down to 2 Peter 1, verse number 8, the Apostle Peter is going to use this term to be abounding in these things, the things that he lists out beginning at verse number 5, going through verse 7. And so we're to be diligent in those things. We're to be abounding in those things. And we're simply using this as a springboard to 1 Timothy chapter 2 as it relates to spiritual growth. Are we diligently growing in the Lord? There are two contexts that I love and appreciate. I find myself going back to these contexts very often. They're easy to remember. Philippians 1 verse 9 and Colossians 1 verse number 9. What you'll find in Philippians 1 9 along with Colossians 1 verse number 9 is a recipe for spiritual growth. If we want to grow spiritually speaking, we can turn to Philippians, we can turn to Colossians, and God gives us a beautiful recipe for spiritual growth. But as we think about spiritual growth, why does God want us to grow? I believe Paul answers that question in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God wants us to grow spiritually speaking because as we grow, we get closer to Him. Spiritual growth brings us closer to God. In James chapter 4, verse number 8, James would say, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." The Apostle John would say in 1 John 2, verse number 3, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." You see, God wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him so that we'll be closer to Him. He wants us, again, from 1 John 2, verse 3, to know Him. Again, hereby we do know that we know Him. That idea of knowing Him in a special way, in an intimate way, being close to God. That's why God wants us to grow. He wants us to draw near to Him. But what we have to remember is that spiritually speaking, we can become stagnant. Spiritually speaking, we can become complacent. And you really see this thought throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. The examples that I'm about to give you, they speak of God's people, Old Testament and New Testament, which emphasizes the need for spiritual growth. We can become stagnant, spiritually speaking. We can become complacent, spiritually speaking. In Jeremiah 7, verse 24, God said to His people, "You're going backwards and not forward." He describes His people in Hosea 4, verse number 16, as a backsliding heifer. That concept of backsliding, it's seen throughout the major prophets, the minor prophets. When we turn to the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews will begin chapter 5, verse number 12 by saying, "For when the time you ought to be teachers." You ought to be. Well, as you study the book of Hebrews, you see that these Christians were not growing. And in fact, the writer talks about them drawing back. Hebrews 10, verse 38, God says, "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That's why we need to grow, because we don't want to go backwards. We don't want to draw back. Or what about Galatians 5, verse 7? As Paul spoke to the brethren of Galatia, he says, "For ye did run well." Think about that language. You were doing well. And then he turns around and says, "Who is hindering you?" Who is hindering you, spiritually speaking? Or maybe this is maybe the most familiar. Revelation 2, 4, as the Lord addresses the congregation at Ephesus, He tells the brethren there, "For ye have left your first love." We want to grow because we don't want to leave our first love. We want to be stronger and stronger in the Lord. Now, if you're still in the book of Peter, let me invite you to turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And read with me 2 Peter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. As Peter is addressing these Christians, he says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." This morning, I want to talk to you about spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is nothing new. I'm convinced that every one of us in here this morning have heard lessons on spiritual growth. But you see what Peter is saying about spiritual truths? As we think about spiritual truths, these are things that we need to be reminded of. And so that's why I asked the question this morning, are you diligently seeking to grow in the Lord? Are you growing spiritually speaking? I'm going to mention several things that can help you grow. And again, I'm convinced that you've heard these things, but if Peter says this, I could say it. As long as we're in this earthly tabernacle, as long as we're here on this earth, these are the things that we need to be reminded of, because these are the things that can keep us from drawing back, drifting away from the Lord. If we are mindful of these things can help us grow closer to the Lord. And so as we begin thinking about our lesson on spiritual growth, I want us to understand, first of all, we can grow. Now we're actually using that phrase as a lead-in to all of our points, but that certainly can serve as the first point. We can grow. God knows that, and God has given us everything that we need to grow. We have His Word. We have His teaching. And He expects us to study His Word. He expects us to grow. God wouldn't ask us to do something if it wasn't possible. And so we can grow. But here's the first point. Number one, we can grow by putting away worldly things. We can grow, spiritually speaking, by putting away worldly things. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of passages that come to your mind concerning worldliness. But I want to approach it maybe from a different angle. If you would, open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Familiar context, this has to do with the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. And Paul's going to list out the fruit of the Spirit. He's going to list out the works of the flesh. He talks about that war that is going on between the two. He encourages us to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I want to drop down to the end of the context, and I want to highlight a verse that I think maybe sometimes we lose sight of. As you look at this context, look at verse number 24. They and they that are Christ. Now those who belong to Christ from the context, they're going to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. But listen to what Paul says. And they that are Christ, I like the language, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. The word to crucify means to put to death. What is Paul saying? Those who follow Christ, they put to death the old man of sin. Those who follow Christ, they put away worldly things. They walk in the Spirit. Now, as you think about this word flesh, they put to death fleshly things. The fleshly things that Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, are those things, Peter would say, that war against the soul. In 1 Peter 2, verse number 11, the Apostle Peter says that we are to abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you know why God wants us to put away worldly things? Worldly things from each one of these contexts obstruct transformation. Worldliness obstructs spiritual growth. Be not conformed to this world, Paul would say in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be transformed through spiritual growth. Abstain from the fleshly lust which war against your soul. The devil is going to use worldliness to engage in a spiritual war with us. And think about Demas having loved this present world, 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. Demas was a follower of God, a fellow soldier of the Apostle Paul. Many times you see Paul mentioning Demas, read Colossians 4, and mentioning Demas in a positive way as a co-laborer. But as Paul comes to the end of his life, we know the context of 2 Timothy chapter 4. As he ends that last epistle, he speaks about Demas leaving the faith because of worldliness. Again, worldliness can obstruct spiritual transformation. As we began in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 concerning spiritual growth, where Peter says we are to grow in Christ, In verse 1, he says that we are to lay aside some things, and then he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Well, what is he talking about in verse number 1? To lay aside. He's talking about, again, laying aside fleshly things, laying aside worldliness because it obstructs transformation. These are things that we put off. You see, when we were baptized into Christ, we put to death that old man of sin. Now in Christ, we walk in newness of life. Now in Christ, we have a spiritual focus. And we're not looking back like Demas. But that's what the devil is trying to do through worldliness. He's trying to obstruct that spiritual transformation. He wants us to become stagnant. He wants us to become complacent. He wants us to turn back like Lot's wife. He wants us to go back into the world. Just from the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter is talking about those who escape the pollutions of the world, but he goes on to say about some individuals. Some individuals became entangled therein. Entangled in what? The pollutions of the world. And so again, if we're going to grow, remember, we can grow, but if we're going to grow, we have to put away worldly things. Number two, if we're going to grow, we must increase our understanding of the truth. We can grow by increasing our understanding of the truth. I like how Solomon begins the book of Proverbs. He says, "A wise man will hear and increase in learning." That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? Like Cornelius, to hear all things that are commanded of God. If we're wise, we're going to hear. We're going to, as James would say in James chapter 1, we're going to be swift to hear, ready to hear, eager to hear the Word of God. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. As we think about the religion of Christ, it's something that we learn. It's something, as Jesus would say in John 6, 44 and 45, that we are taught. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, the great invitation, our Lord encourages us to yoke ourselves with His teaching. How do we do that? By studying God's Word. By growing in our understanding of God's Word, making that application of God's Word. Look at a context, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I believe Ephesians chapter 4 really ties these two first points together. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's begin at verse 17. We'll work our way down to verse number 20. Remember what I just said. This context right here ties the first two points together. Notice how Paul begins in verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk," verse number 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Do you see what Paul is saying up to this point? Don't live like the heathen. Don't live like the world. The world has no understanding of who God is and of His Word. And they're alienated. They're separated from God. They have no life. They have no relationship. And in fact, their hearts are so hard. Verse number 19. People will do things and they don't even care what God thinks about it. They don't even blush. They just don't care. Don't live like that. And then he turns around in verse number 20 and says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Notice that. If you're living this way like the heathen, like the world, you haven't learned Christ, because that's not how Christ lived His life. And so if we're going to grow spiritually, we're going to have to put away worldliness, and we're going to have to grow in our understanding of the truth of God's Word. As Paul would also say in Ephesians 5, verse number 17, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How am I going to understand what the will of the Lord is if I'm not growing in my understanding of His Word? As Peter says, we are to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. 2 Peter 3, verse number 18. We are to grow in knowledge. We take that knowledge, we treat it with wisdom, spiritual understanding, always making that personal application of God's Word. Again, we can grow. Number three, we can grow by examining ourselves. Now, you'll notice how these points build upon each other. If we're going to grow, we're going to have to abstain from some things, and we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to grow in our understanding of God's will. But now think about the third point. We're going to have to practice that self-examination. As we talked about in Bible class from James chapter 1, we're going to have to look into the perfect law of liberty. And when we look into the mirror of God's Word, we're going to see what God sees. When you look into the mirror of God's Word, what do you see? Individually, we need to make that application. When you look at your life, spiritually speaking, right now, this morning, what do you see? Do you see a person who is strong in the Lord? Or do you see a person who's maybe drifted away from the Lord? Like we've noted in the Old Testament and like we noticed about some of our brethren. Have we left our first love? We have to examine ourselves and remember, when we look into the perfect law of liberty, the Bible, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, remember the nature of God's Word. Clay, what do you mean, remember the nature of God's Word? God's Word corrects. God's Word reproves. And at times, yes, God's Word rebukes. But whatever the case may be, we should never shy away from looking into God's Word. Because the nature of God's Word is to build us up. The nature of God's Word is to make us a better person. That's what we see there in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 17. So that the man of God may be, not sinless, perfect. That is, complete. Mature. That's what God desires of me. That's what He desires of each one of you. He wants us to be His mature children. We have to abstain from worldliness. We have to grow in our understanding of God's Word. We have to practice that self-examination, knowing that, you know what, God's Word, it's going to confront me in some things, but I'm not going to shy away from what God's Word says. I'm going to welcome that correction in my life. Read Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah makes this point about God's people. Truth is perished, and God's people will not receive correction. I hope that doesn't describe us. I hope we welcome that correction in our life. Like David in Psalm 143, verse number 10, David says, Lord, teach me to do Thy will. For Thou art my God, Thy Spirit is good, and lead me into the land of uprightness. You want to talk about a great attitude toward what we're talking about, learning and practicing self-examination. That's what we see in David's life. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me as I go through this life. How does the Lord teach? How does the Lord lead us? He does so through His Word. We have to, again, turn to His Word and grow in His Word, but we also have to look at our lives individually. And we have to be
teachable.
And again, go back to Psalm 143, verse 10. Lord, teach me to do thy will. If we're going to grow spiritually speaking, we're going to have to be teachable. You ever seen somebody that was unteachable? And there are people like that. You can't teach them a thing. Number one, they know everything, or they're stubborn and hard-hearted. And I hope that that doesn't describe us, spiritually speaking, because we'll never know it all. There's always things that we can learn from God's Word. There are always areas, I'm convinced, spiritually speaking, that we can improve on. And if we have that attitude as we examine ourselves, we're not going to think more highly of ourselves than the way that we should. We're going to approach the Word of God with humility. We're going to listen. We're going to be like David. Lord, I want you to teach me. Lord, I want you to lead me through your Word. Long ago, God told his people in the book of Haggai. By the way, as you're going through the prophets, as you're reading the book of Hosea, the book of Haggai, it wasn't a good time for the people of God. The people were rebellious. In fact, as you look at the prophets, God's people are headed to captivity. But you know what God says to his people in Haggai 1 verse 5? I want you to consider your ways. I want you to consider your ways. I want you to think about how you're living. Oh, the people in the days of Haggai, they were busy. They were building, you know, their sealed houses, and they were doing this and they were doing that. But as far as their relationship with God, again, they were weak. They were stagnant. They had become complacent. And God says, I want you to think about your life. I want you to consider your ways. And as you consider your ways, as I consider my ways, we need to be teachable, we need to learn, and we need to ask the Lord to help us in this because we can't do it on our own. If you would, turn to a passage in the book of Psalms that really encourages us. Really, there are two passages that I want us to look at underneath this point. But turn, if you would, to Psalm 26, verse number 2. And as I said, we are to examine ourselves. But if we have a good and honest heart, and if we're teachable, and if we're learning, if we're practicing the self-examination by considering our ways, we're not going to be afraid to ask the Lord to examine us. And every one of us needs to be living in a way that we can ask the Lord to examine us so that He can help us. Look at Psalm 26, verse number 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. The reins and the heart. The reins has to do with our emotions. David is saying, Lord, I want you to take a deep, deep look at me. I want you to look deep within my heart. Examine me. Again, if we have the right attitude toward spiritual growth, we can call upon the Lord, like the psalmist, to help us as we go through this life. Look at another passage still from the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 139. And both of these passages are really parallel. They teach the same thing. Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, actually let's begin at verse 23. Listen to what the psalmist says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you see in Psalm 26 and Psalm 139 that the psalmist is pleading to God, asking God to examine him, asking God to search his heart, to help him as he goes through this life? Why? Because the psalmist was wanting to be right with God. And if we want to be right with God, again, we're going to abstain from worldliness. We're going to grow in our understanding of God's Word. We're going to practice self-examination. And we're going to say, Lord, I want you to help me in this. And when God's Word confronts us, we're not going to shy away. We're not going to become angry. We're going to make the correction, knowing, you know what? It's going to help me be closer to God, and that's what I want. That's what my God wants. We can grow, notice point number four, by striving to be, listen to me, not like clay, not like Brother Ray or Brother Leonard, but we can grow by striving to be like Jesus Christ. Now let me show you how I came up with this point. If you would, turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As you're turning over to the book of 2 Corinthians 10, you know that the brethren at Corinth struggled with everything that we're talking about. There were so many problems in the congregation. When you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see that they were fleshly minded. They weren't spiritual minded. They were babes and Christ. And there were those in Corinth that certainly were making things difficult for Paul and for the Corinthian brethren. There were those who questioned Paul's apostleship. There were those who questioned his teaching and his love and even his boldness toward the Word of God. They even charged Paul of being bold and strong with his letters, but they would say in presence he would be weak. He would be fragile. And that's really the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 12. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number of those who were putting him down, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." Now there were those at Corinth that were puffed up about themselves, and they were much like the Pharisees, being self-righteous. Paul says, "I'm not going to look at those individual, spiritually speaking, to evaluate my life, those who commend themselves, but they," listen to the language, "but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves," listen to the language, "are not wise." There were those there at Corinth. They would look to others that would, we might say, be weaker. And they would use those weaker individuals as measuring sticks, which made these Christians puffed up about themselves. Listen, as you're examining yourself, don't look to the weakest individual in the congregation. Strive to be like Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our measuring stick, not the brethren. But Jesus Christ is our measuring stick. We look to Christ. We look at His teaching. We look at how He lived. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, He gave us an example. Ephesians 4, 13 through 15, we are to grow up in Christ. That's the standard. That's the individual that we look at if we're going to grow. And again, if we're looking at Christ, and if we're striving to be like Christ, we're always going to be striving to do better, to do more, imitating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Two more points that are very familiar, and I promise you I won't spend much time on these. But if we're going to grow spiritually speaking, we need to overcome temptation. We can grow, spiritually speaking, by overcoming temptation. Temptation, as you know, is common to man. Temptation is going to come our way. But listen to these encouraging words in 1 John chapter 2. Now, I mentioned 1 John 2 verse 15 and 16, "Love not the world." Remember, worldliness it will obstruct our spiritual transformation. Remember 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Satan is the god of this world. He uses worldliness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, to obstruct that spiritual transformation. But in 1 John 2 verse 14, we find these encouraging words as the Apostle John is writing these Christians. He says these words, "You are strong," spiritually speaking, "you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." How did they overcome the wicked one? Again, the Apostle John gives us the answer. The Word of God is abiding in you. I want you to think about these three points as it relates to the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God is powerful. in overcoming temptation. The Word of God is powerful. Remember when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4? You remember how He responded to temptation? It is written. What was our Lord doing? He was meeting temptation with Scripture. If we understand the power of God's Word, we will fight temptation with quotation. You see that? We will fight temptation with quotation because we know that the Word of God is powerful. Number two, the Word of God needs to be present in our life if we're going to overcome temptation. Like David would say in Psalm 119, verse number 11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart." God's Word cannot protect you. It cannot help you if the Word of God isn't present in your life. Your Word. Remember again, 1 John 2, the Word of God is abiding in you. And then number three, God's Word is precious. God's Word needs to be precious to us. It's powerful. It needs to be present, but it needs to be precious to us. Like David in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day long." Or what about Psalm 119, verse number 54? David says, "Your statutes, your precepts, your law are my songs." I like that. My songs. It reminds me of how we listen to music. "Your Word has become my songs." And then Psalm 119, 127. David says, "Your Word is so precious, it's above fine gold." Above fine gold. You see, if we have the right attitude towards the Word of God, the Word of God will help us overcome temptation. And then finally, if we can grow by overcoming or by learning, being strengthened from the trials that we face in this life. A lot like temptation. Trials are common to man. You and I are going to face trials. Those outward trials. But as I said, we can grow through those outward trials if we have the right attitude. As James talks about, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith, it does what? It builds us up. It produces that endurance, that perseverance that keeps us going." Solomon says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity," he says, "your strength is small." You see, if we understand the purpose of trials, the trials that we encounter in this life, they strengthen our faith. They drive us to God. They drive us to God, not away from God. Like Jonah, he ran away from God. And so if we understand the purpose of trials, they're going to help us grow. Those trials will strengthen us. Those trials will cause us to approach God, to drive ourselves to God, to ask God to help us, to strengthen us. You see, it's through the trials that we face in this life that our faith is exercised. And when our faith is being exercised, we become stronger and stronger in the Lord. And so the question that we're asking this morning is this: are you growing? And I've listed some things from the Scriptures that can help us grow. We can grow by putting away worldliness, by increasing our knowledge, understanding of the Lord, by examining ourselves spiritually speaking, by being determined to be like Jesus Christ, by fighting temptation with quotation, and by allowing the trials that we encounter in this life to cause us to be stronger in the Lord. I'm thankful for God's Word, and I'm thankful that we can remind ourselves of these things this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel, what God wants more than anything is for you to become a child of God by obeying His plan of salvation. If you are a child of God, God wants you to be growing. And so again, this morning is an opportunity for all of us to examine ourselves. Are we growing spiritually speaking? If we're not growing, let's make those changes. Let's draw near to God and He will draw near to us. If we can help you spiritually speaking this morning,